Hey, welcome back to Quarantine Christianity. We're making the best of what we have, trying to bring you the best product that we could possibly bring you. I want to give you a couple things as we're turning in our Bibles, Mark chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 13. As we're doing that, I wanted to say thank you to our most amazing creative team ever. These guys have worked tirelessly to be able to bring you what we're bringing you this Sunday. So right where you are, just give them a little golf clap.
Yes.
We're able to do Sunday morning in our pajamas thanks to these guys. So Ashley Defer, TJ Ingram, Jeff Bach, thank you guys for working so hard. We did not realize we were going to need all the equipment that we bought so soon, but hey, that someday purchase has become today. So we're glad that we have it. I want to say thank you for a couple of things. On behalf of the Emmons family, which are some of our eldest people in our church, they wanted to make sure that we told you thank you for being able to do some grocery shopping for them. There are some others that have been shut in due to this crisis, and with your tithes, with your generosity, we've been able to meet their needs and shop for them to make sure that they don't have to get out. And that means the world to people that don't have a lot of options. So thank you for continuing to faithfully support us with your tithes and generosity. Thank you for that. If you're still an old school type check person that's writing a check, we're still able to get mail. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. But for everyone else, it's much easier if you give online. A couple ways that you can do that. First of all, on our website, highridgelv.com/giving. Or if you're tech savvy, and I'm not tech savvy, I'm just tech dependent, but you can go to the App Store on your iPhone and download the Church Center app. Then find Highridge Church and then enter your information and it goes from there. So thank you so much for your support. It means a lot in times like this. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you very much. Also, tomorrow, Monday, at New Covenant Church North, which is on the loop by Olive Garden, McDonald's, the mall, the Red Cross truck is going to be there to be able to for us to be able to give blood between 10 and 4. If that's inconvenient for you, also Pathway Church is going to be, they have a room there designated to be able to take your blood. So the blood is in short supply with the Red Cross, and so they've asked us to help meet that need. And churches, we're working together to try to make sure that we meet the community's needs in our best way. So thank you for being a part of that. If that's something that you're able to do, thank you so much. Between 10 and 4. Highridge Tribes have launched. We teased that a little bit last week. And so we have all kinds of groups that are meeting all across our city. We want to thank you in advance for all that you've done. If you're interested in being a part of a group, which you should be, it's not good for man to be alone.
That's right.
So highridgelv.com/tribes is how you hook up with some other groups there. We need some face-to-face and just checking on people and getting them in a group. This is the time to make sure that we stay connected. It's very, very important. So stay connected with us. Grab your Bibles. I believe God has given us a powerful word, and I want to get into that with you. All of this series that we're in, God gave us this in January, knew exactly what we would need, and I believe He has a right now word for you as you're sitting at home watching this. This is based on Proverbs 4, verse 7, where the Word of God tells us, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And it says, though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Not toilet paper. Though it cost you all you have, get some toilet paper. No, get wisdom. Get understanding. Understanding and wisdom is in short supply today. And here's the good news. God brings wisdom into people's life. God wants you to be able to hear His voice, to understand what He's doing in this time. And it's extremely important that we find the heart of God in the midst of all this. Otherwise, you're going to be tossed by every single thing that comes on social media. You're going to be full of anxiety and stress and pressure. That's not who we are. We are people of faith. We are people that are led by the wisdom that comes from the mouth of God. God has some wisdom in store for you today. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about when fear takes over. That's the title of what the Lord has given me to speak to you, when fear takes over. This is so prevalent in our world right now. Everyone is so afraid. And, you know, rightly so. There's plenty of things to be afraid about. But, you know, I think there's a group of Christians that we would say, yeah, I know God's word. I've read God's word. I've applied God's word. But honestly, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Let's just be real. Let's be honest for a moment. I can quote all the scriptures. I've studied it and I've read it. But at the same time, let's just call a spade a spade. What happens when fear takes over? And for me, it's that overwhelming sense of panic where the voice of wisdom just gets drowned out by my fears. I'm afraid. When fear takes over, I think we do a lot of dumb things, honestly. Fearful people do stupid things.
That's right.
And I've been one. You've probably been one too. But I remember when I was five, my grandfather took me and my younger brother out on his boat. And he said, "Do you boys know how to swim?" And we said, "No, of course we don't know how to swim." And so he throws us off of his boat into the lake. Now, what we didn't know is that he had put little life jackets on us, so we were going to be fine. But we freaked out until we obviously came up to the top, and we were fine, and we enjoyed ourselves. But we're like, okay, of course, now we know how to swim, not realizing that, no, you have a life jacket on, right? So flash forward, when I was 12, I got to go to a swimming party. Now, I was raised Pentecostal, and there's not a lot of mixed bathing, which is just code word for no swim parties allowed, right? So I had not been in deep water since that time that my grandfather threw me off the boat. And so I decided I was going to do a cannonball to impress this cute girl that was across the pool. And so I take this flying leap into this 12-foot deep pool, screaming cannonball all the way, hit the water with a big splash. And, of course, you know, seeing her reaction as I'm going under, like, that's awesome, the perfect cannonball, you know. Well, needless to say, I hit the bottom of the pool at that 12-foot deep, went all the way down because I'm fat. And I've always been fat. And I realize I can't swim. I don't know how to swim. There's no life jacket this time. And so when you're panicking, when you're freaking out, you're going to do a lot of dumb things. You know, your life flashes before your eyes, and it wasn't very long. And I'm thinking, well, at least that cannonball was really legit, because that's the last thing that people are going to remember me for is the perfect cannonball. So I ended up, luckily, you know, not even luckily, thankfully, God wasn't done with me, of course, but this girl that I splashed sees me thrashing about at the bottom of the pool, jumps in and pulls me out in front of my friends that were laughing at me, like, thanks a lot, with friends like these, right? And so she pulls me out, and I learned a tough lesson that I didn't know how to swim, and that panicked people do dumb things. Yeah. You know, I'm down there at the bottom of the pool grasping at anything, and that's a lot like life. You know, sometimes when fear takes over, you're clutching at straws. And I found that we have a couple of responses. And the first thing is, some of us, when fear takes over, you have some of the most foolish thoughts. And we can appear calm on the outside, but inside our mind is just going a million different directions. We're thinking dumb things like, God doesn't care about me. Like, I need to hoard some toilet paper. Like, I've got to, you know, find a way to get as much stuff as I can. And we lose a lot of quality time that we could be spending with the Lord. Jesus says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you.
Yes.
Another thing that we do, like me, sometimes we just go into freeze mode. We kind of curl up into the fetal position and we just stop. You know, I know that there are some people, when you scare them, they just like hunker down and time just stands still. Some people are like that. Some people are like me. You press the panic button and you just start grasping at straws. You just try to stay busy. You freak out, but you're just, there's a flurry of activity as you're scrambling to find and to make sense of anything in tough times. But the most devastating, I think, that thing that happens when we give in to fear is that we start doubting God's word. We forget what God has said. We forget what God has promised us. We forget the discipline that God has put into our lives. We do dumb things because we forget the authority that God's word has over us. And this is exactly the situation that Jesus' friends find themselves in Mark chapter 4. I want you to see this, starting in verse 35. We'll read through these next six or seven verses. It says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And so leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped, and Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, just like many of us would, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?'" Doubting God's word. You know, when fear hits, I've found that it comes in waves. It's just waves. And that's a good way to think of it. It's a good way to describe it. It's just waves that hit you. And it's this relentless, merciless pounding. And I feel it in my chest, and I feel it in my mind. It just overwhelms me with the thoughts and the anxiety. That doubt makes me feel like I'm drowning in despair. You know, when we let the what ifs control the even ifs, we find ourselves in a tough spot. All the what if this happens, what if that happens, and it it tends to override the things that we know to be true, which is the, yeah, even if that happens, God is still in control. I still belong to Him. And when the what ifs outweigh the even ifs, we're in trouble. And this is where the water gets into the boat. That's when we start panicking. And these are experienced sailors. These are guys that know how to swim. They've done this their whole life. So it gives you kind of a good idea of what this storm must have looked like. Right. So this is not just, you know, some of the waves are rocking the boat a little bit. The water's coming in the boat.
Yeah.
And that's when they start freaking out. And I thought of it this way. It must have been quite a storm because it makes experienced fishermen get advice from a carpenter.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, teacher, don't you care that we drown? We've done all that we can do. Yeah. We can't figure this out. We're about to drown. Don't you even care? You're sleeping? Are you serious? This is not the time to take a nap. Yeah. You know, I want to give you today some fear floaties. You ever?
Good.
You remember those floaties that you put on your kids to help them out a little bit? There's some fear floaties. There's some things that God's Word has given us through this story that will help us out when fear takes over. And so I want to give you a few of these here, but the first is you have to remember the Word. Remember the capital W, Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and He's in the boat. Yes. And He spoke to them very specifically at the beginning of this whole thing. When they got into the boat, Jesus says, let us go over to the other side. The Greek word there is dierkomai, which means not just let us cross over, but maybe a better translation would be, let's go through to the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and there are some storms that, praise God, we can walk right over, that we don't even have to worry about. God saves us from. He says, you know what? I'm gonna take you right over this storm. You're gonna breeze through it. And there's other storms that maybe you just have to sit down and enjoy the ride, because it's gonna get rough. It's gonna get choppy. And unfortunately, that's where we find ourselves. Yeah. We're in a place where you're gonna have to go through it.
Yeah.
And this has affected our entire world. This storm. This perfect storm that's affected everything that you're looking at, from what you see and what you watch, what you hear, every celebrity and every idol and every athlete, that it affects us all.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got to go through it. But Jesus did say, let us go through this. Mm-hmm. Not just Himself, mm-hmm. not just a couple. He said, all of us. We are going to get through this. And it's important to put on the floaty of the Word of God when you find yourself in a fearful situation.
Mm-hmm. So
it'll keep you from panicking. You have to remember the Word. Remember the Word. Remember the Word. Remember the Word. And faith, you know, standing in faith in God's Word, it's not denying the severity of the storm, but it's remembering who's in your boat.
Yeah. Come on.
And for some of us, we get overwhelmed with panic because we forgot that, wait, Jesus is with me. His Word promises me that He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He said He's with me always, even until the end of time. And I believe that.
So good.
That helps me to stay in a place where I'm underneath the authority of God's Word instead of under the authority of the waves. Here's the second thing that we have to put on, and that's to remember to rest. And this may be right exactly what you need today, but that rest is extremely important when it comes to things like social media. You need a break sometimes. And the waves of the anxiety that you're feeling a lot of times are just simply because you haven't regulated. You're not turning it off. The World Health Organization released this week a statement saying that it's healthy to only look at the news once or twice per day, tops, because it's affecting people's mental health more than we ever thought it was. It's just too much. There's too much. It's too much. Turn it off. You need to rest. Even Jesus needed to rest. He says this a couple of chapters later in Mark chapter 6. He tells his disciples when they were so busy that they didn't even have time to eat. He says this, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. That's the word I bring you today. Get with Jesus. Get quiet. Get some rest. You know, when I was a single dad, there was a time in my life where I was just hoping and wishing, trying to remember what quiet felt like. But I learned that I could do that in the shower. So as soon as the shower went on, I got in the shower, like, okay, God, this is my quiet time with me and you, because this is as quiet as it's going to get. I've got kids knocking on the door and kids trying to come in, but just for the next few minutes, it's just going to be me and you. Whatever it takes, get creative, but you need to rest. You need
so
to
good.
Get with Jesus.
So good.
Remember the Word. Remember to rest. Rest is extremely important when you find yourself in a crisis. You know, there's always something to get worked up about if you look hard enough. So stop looking. Stop. There's enough on Friday and Saturday. I just finally logged off of all social media. I said I'm gonna post a couple of things to let people see my face and that we're doing okay. And I'm gonna get off and leave it alone because enough is enough. There's so much anxiety and fear, and I've got enough on my own. I don't need to add to it. Give it a rest. So Hebrews 13, powerful verses that I want you to see in context, starting in verse 5. It says this: never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So, and I love that. That's a great scripture. Lots of people have tattooed that scripture on them, or that's part of their life verses. But keep reading, because it says something important. It says, so we say with confidence. And I want you to get that word into your spirit today. Confidence. We can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There's something that happens in our spirit when we say that with confidence.
Yes.
Where's your confidence? It's in the Lord. He's my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The scripture says. And look at this. He gives us some outlets. He says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Or in other words, hey, if you can't get calm, but look at somebody that is calm and imitate them. So fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
That's my version.
That's good.
But it says, look at the people that have spiritual stamina. Look at the people that are going through this and they're keeping the faith, and act like them. Imitate their faith, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has gotten us through. He is getting us through. He will get us through. Remember the word. Remember to rest. Rest in the fact that Jesus is not going to leave you. He's right there. This doesn't come as a shock to him. Have confidence that he's with you. Confidence. And then say it out. Speak it out. The Lord is my helper. What can people do to me? I belong to him. Here's something I think is important, is that Jesus was sleeping because he was exhausted from ministry. And the scripture tells us this, but he was resting in his purpose. And when you don't know your purpose, you're only going to see your circumstances. Our church has been built around helping people find what God has created them to do so that they can make a difference. And if there ever was a time for the church to make a difference, it's today. You need to know who God has created you to be. You need to know the gifts that God has given you. And those things need to be unleashed right now more than ever. Rest in your purpose. Rest in the fact that you're doing exactly what God has called you to do. And it's not just to sit on the couch and watch Netflix all day. This is more than that. This is an opportunity, a divine opportunity to help people, to encourage them in any way possible. And get creative about that. And I wrote this down. We rest really well when we let go of control. And you can either have control or you can have rest, but you can't have both. So what's it going to be for you? You're going to continue to stress yourself out? Or are you going to realize that you're not in control of this? He is. So I'm going to rest in the fact that he's got me and he's got you. He's got your family. We're going to get through this. We have a word, and we rest in that word. Here's number three of four. Number three is choose your cushion. It says Jesus was asleep on a cushion. I was drawn to that word cushion and what it means. And it's obviously in the Greek language, it's a head pillow. But it kind of left me with this thought, you know, what's the cushion that we try to rest in? Because real storms have a way of exposing foolish cushions. Lots of people have put their hope and they rest in the fact that they've got some money in the bank, that they've got money in the stock market, that they've got this job or that job. And, you know, one thing that this virus has exposed is a lot of foolish cushions. Things that we thought were going to be there forever, they're just not. And storms have a way of doing that. They help show us that some of the cushions that we rely on are not good ones. The Greek word there for cushion is proskephale, which means advantageous for your head. It gives your head an advantage. And, you know, I wonder if the cushion that you've been depending on is really giving relief to your head. Is it advantageous to you? As the great theologian Dr. Phil would say, how's it working for you? Right? Maybe it's time to find a better cushion.
Yeah, that's good.
What are you resting in? What are you relying on? And is it the right thing? There's no better day than today to make Jesus Christ your cushion, to make him Lord of your life. And if you've not done that, or if you need to do that again, man, this is the perfect day to do that. Pick the right cushion. Here's number four, and we'll close out with this. A great fear floaty is to make wise choices. Make wise choices, and that can be a couple different things. Number one, you can rest next to Jesus. We call it spooning with Jesus. Like, hey, Jesus, move over. I'm borrowing this cushion. Or you can wake him up. Yep. But either way, get next to Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
Wake him up. Bring him into your situation. Some of us, the reason why we're so afraid, the reason why there's so much anxiety is because you've not allowed Jesus to come into your home. You've not brought Jesus into your family. You've not prayed about this. And sometimes the simplest things bring the most amazing results. Prayer, talking to Jesus. Talk to him. Cast your cares on him. He cares for you. Pray about it. And you may think, well, why haven't I thought about that? Because you're panicking. Panicking people do dumb things. I've been there. I've been one of those. Pray about it. Talk to him. Pray with confidence. Pray continually, the Bible says, all day long. Talk to Jesus. He can handle it. If you're angry, be angry at him. He can handle it. Be real with him.
Yeah. It's good.
But make a choice. You know, when Jesus stands up in verse 39, it says he gets up, he rebukes the wind, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. The Greek word there means to put a muzzle on it. Put a muzzle on that thing. Shut up. And then it says, then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I love the rhetorical questions of Jesus. Where's your faith at? Don't you remember that I told you we're going to go through this? Relax. It's okay that there's a little bit of water in the boat. Calm down. I've got this. It says this, when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They were so terrified, not necessarily at the storm, which had them at one level of freaked out, but when Jesus spoke to it and immediately stopped, it says they were terrified at that, how quickly this storm ended. You know, you serve a powerful God.
Yeah. Right.
And one word from Jesus and all this changes.
Yeah.
Let him speak. He doesn't just rebuke the storm. He rebukes the fear out of his people. And for some of us, like it's like a drill sergeant barking orders, you know, obey me and live. Take orders. Okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? I'm listening to you. And he's barking out, come on, trust me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we need somebody to pick us up and slap us around a little bit to get us back into our right mind. Hey, stop panicking. Yeah. You know what to do. Yep. Your discipline has flown out the window. You forgot who's on the throne.
Come on. Really good.
Choose your cushion. Make good choices. Jesus speaks to that storm, and I'm so grateful that Jesus still speaks. And it ends just as quickly as it had begun. I was drawn to the word, what does it mean when they say, oh, the wind and the waves, they still obey him. And they were shocked by that. That word in the Greek is hupakuo, which means it's the wind and the waves are underneath his authority. And I wonder, whose authority are you under? Are you under Jesus' authority? Because he won't take it. He wants you to give it to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or are you under the authority of the storm? You know, if you are, it's going to just keep pushing you and give you more anxiety. Those winds and the waves will just constantly beat at you. You weren't designed to handle all that. You can't. It's too much for you. Get underneath the authority of Jesus, the authority of his word. Mm-hmm. Choose the cushion, the authority of God's powerful word. And let him calm the storm that's inside of you. We're going to get through this. We have a word. And the word is, this will end.
Yeah.
It will end. So have some stories worth telling when this thing is over. The times where you took great steps of faith. The times where you said, you know what? It was tough, but we learned something. I got closer to Jesus than I've ever been. I trusted his word in brand new ways. I saw a new side of Jesus that I have never seen. That's the kind of stories that you want to tell when this thing is over. Jesus stories. What do you want to be said about you when this was over? And you cowered down and caught up on some Netflix specials? Or that you came forward in an area of faith that you've never experienced before?
Yeah.
It's a new season. It's a new day. There's divine opportunity for you, his people. Listen to him. Let him speak directly to your storm. You know, the severity of the storm will be determined by whose authority that you're under. And I want to remind you that this is the God that speaks to winds. He speaks to waves. And this could end with just a single word from Him. Psalm 89 is something I was drawn to this week. It says, Lord, You rule the surging sea. When its waves mount up, You still them. I can't do it. I can't fix it. I can't make it all go away. But I know the One who can.
Yeah.
You know, don't give authority to the waves of panic. Give authority to the One that controls the waves. Those are some floaties that I think will keep you alive. They'll keep you from falling into fear. You know, we had a vacation with some other pastor couples one time. And we got to go out and see the stingrays in the middle of the ocean. And it was really, really cool. We got into the water. Now, the sea was a little bit choppy, which is not a big deal. It was only up to right above my stomach. But the other pastor couples that were with us were really short little people. And I may tag them in this video because you know who you are. I don't want to try to embarrass them because this happened. And so they were both kind of struggling, you know, because the waves of them were right up around their neck. But to me, I'm having a great time. I'm getting to pet the stingrays and just to enjoy the time spent out in the ocean. But they're freaking out because they can't, you know, they can't get any solid footing, and those waves are hitting them. Well, my friend, he's a great pastor, and his wife is a little bit shorter than him. They're in the 5 foot something range, and so she kept reaching out and grabbing onto me. I'm like, hey, stop it! You know, grab onto your own husband. He's like, he's shorter than me. And so one of these waves comes along, it hits her, she goes down, she panics, she freaks out, she grabs my shorts. This happened, and I'm freaking out, I'm grabbing my shorts, I'm curling up in a ball, trying to push her off, and she's scrambling with all she can because she feels like she's about to die, panicking, freaking out. She comes up, and I just kind of hold her up by us, like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm so sorry. She's coughing up the ocean water. I just got swept. I'm like, why don't you get back on the boat? Take care of yourself, you little people, short people. Go back. The rest of us are going to enjoy the time. But you know, so many of us, we freak out when life throws us some storms, but you don't have to. You don't have to. There's One that controls the wind and the waves, and He's willing to take care of us. He's taking care of me, and He is absolutely going to take care of you if you put your trust in Him. I want to finish up with that today. I want to pray for those that you're full of fear, and let's just admit it to each other. It's been a rough time. Worried about your money, your kids, this virus, social media, all these things got us in a panic frenzy. That's not who we're called to be. And I want to pray for you right now. And as we do, I want you to join me in prayer. Let your faith rise up over this fear. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank You right now that You are the God that controls the wind and the waves. And there is nothing on this earth that can stand in opposition to You. Nothing is stronger than You. You're a mighty God, powerful, wonderful, supernatural God who still does amazing things. And I pray that right now to every single person watching this, that You would rebuke that fear right now in Jesus' name, that it would have to go right now. Lord, let fear no longer be that spirit that controls Your people anymore. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. So, Father, I pray that we would take the authority back and put it underneath Your authority, Father, and say that that's not going to control my life anymore. I'm going to sleep next to Jesus. I'm going to sleep good, knowing that He's got me.
Yes.
He's got me. And this will end. Father, I thank You in advance for what You're doing to every single person that's digging into Your Word today. Would You bring peace to every storm? In Jesus' name, amen. We want you to know that we love you. We have been praying for you nonstop. And for every single one of us watching, you are loved, you are covered. We can't wait till we can worship together again. But in the meantime, we're going to do the best we can with what we have. God bless you. I love you and hope to see you soon.